from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Welcome into the Insiders. We're doing Ham Insides this week with Kyle Madsen out for his birthday. We have Fox 40 Sean Cunningham in the building. Sean, how are you?
I'd be better if I wasn't sitting on my keys. Just fix that. But hi, how are you? What did you say? Ham and what?
Ham and side dishes. That's what we call this week. Yeah, huh. It used to be James and Friends.
So I'm a side dish?
Well, it's because we had a week where Kyle was gone right before Thanksgiving. So we're playing off of that.
Wasn't I here that time?
I think you were.
Okay.
I can't remember what your side dish was, though.
Oh, it had to have been mac and cheese or something.
Oh, it was mac and cheese.
Okay. Yeah.
There it is. See, that's all.
That's okay. All right.
It's okay to be called a side dish, Sean.
It's better than being called a side piece.
Oh, but, yeah, hey. There we go. Jesse just tallied a point for Sean in the other room. Sean,
wait, what does that mean? Does that mean like I did something good?
Yeah, I think
you made
a
good point, Sean. That's all it is.
Appreciate that, pal. Thank you.
You made a good point. What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm good. It's funny because, you know, we get the NBA schedule out yesterday, and I think everybody is gearing up and, you know, super ready for basketball season all of a sudden. I could use another month. I share the excitement, don't get me wrong, but it's a busy time of year for all of us. I'm not really wanting to rush through summer. I'm really enjoying the summer, and all of a sudden we've got great weather. We've got, on my end of things, we've got, you know, not only NFL camps that have opened up and 49er season right around the corner, but we've got college football, we've got high school football starting next week.
Mm-hmm.
So this, I thoroughly cherish this next month or so, because it's totally a change of pace from what is about to tip off, pun intended, at the end of September and then go for the entire NBA season. So I really enjoy this because I do enjoy the NBA season. I don't want anyone to get me wrong, but like I think part of the good and the bad of when the NBA season meets up and I've got the NFL season, all that stuff, is every day is so like routine. Like, there's not a lot of creativity where you can go, oh, yeah, let's do this. You just know what you're doing every single day, and there's a blessing in there. But I could use another vacation. I could use some more time off. I could use, like, a legit summer break before things ramp up again.
Yeah, we have 6 weeks. That's what it's always – I'm not sure why the NBA puts this out this early. I mean, I get it. They want to have some sort of excitement, you know, in the middle of August. But, like, training camp doesn't open for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, we still have a month and a half to go before basketball starts at all. And, you know, we can see still shots. We can see photos of the Kings working out in the practice facility. Some of the players are here. A lot of the young guys are here. De'Aaron Fox is here. But at the end of the day, like, nothing is really going to happen at all until maybe the second week of September we'll know that like a lot more players are in town and stuff like that. That's when we start to ramp up. They start playing a little bit of like 3-on-3 and 5-on-5 behind the scenes and having a good time just without coaches and all that stuff. And then we'll have training camp and you know, the build up to preseason and all that stuff. But again, we're not just 6 weeks away from like training camp.
Right.
We're 2 months away, more than 2 months away from the start of the regular season. So this thing is way off in the distance. We do have Kyle and I, just so everyone knows, we will be out at the River Cats game tonight. Kyle has to do some sort of work here tonight. I don't know. He's coming out to the River Cats game. I'm going out to the River Cats game. This is, of course, the game that we did contests for. And we have a suite or luxury box. I'm not sure what it is. Huh. But we'll be out there with some of our loyal listeners here. So
VIP life.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's what happens when you get to throw out the first pitch. You didn't bounce it, right? That was
no.
You hit the leather.
I did. No, right. I made it right over the plate. Well, I mean, I think I was on the black.
I didn't like the fact that I had to see the video from like 25 rows back.
Oh yeah, this
like,
is a
why didn't they? Why didn't they? Yeah, why didn't they get you like right up close?
Well,
like
that was my son took that video from the side. Right. That's where they were sitting, and then he should have gone behind home plate or whatever. I don't know.
That's right.
Either way, it would have looked like a strike from that view. I think it was right over the plate.
I respect the fact you went up on the bump.
Yeah, knee high fastball.
Yeah,
good yeah. I've said this a couple of times, but I was wearing very slick shoes. I was worried I was going to bail on the mound because it's all sand. So if you ever throw out the first pitch, no, it is. It was all like
dirt.
It's dirt, but then it was all covered in like a light sand. Like,
really?
Okay. Yeah, and I'm like, oh, no, I'm going to do the splits here in front of all these people. And there was actually a lot of people in the building. It was Marvel night, so they had superheroes all around me. It was wild, Sean.
I still think you should have threw the pitch to Thor.
Yeah.
Thor was there?
Yeah, Thor was there, and I thought I was going to have to throw a first pitch to Thor. There was a guy in a full Iron Man outfit. Like when it was like 106, Spider-Man was like doing the lean right next to me.
Okay.
Yeah. So there was, I think She-Hulk was there and, one other character. I can't remember.
I know Thor was the Hemsworth. I haven't been able to see a lot of those movies because I'm just so tired of comic book movies, but isn't Thor like in a kind of like a kilt? So maybe he couldn't kick the leg up to throw out the first pitch.
No, he does wear a cape, but no, he's in like a regular suit.
Like a wrestling outfit.
Yeah, something.
Pretty much Viking-like, I think.
Yeah, big boots.
Yeah.
He also, the guy, the Thor guy, he had like a really, really, really old crappy glove. And I'm like...
he brought his own.
I'm like, bro, like if I throw, like if I'm not right on you, it could have gone through like the fingers. It was that bad. It was like a 70s beat up crappy glove. And I was very concerned that it was like, oh, that's not good.
See, and you have kids, and I don't, at least that I know of. And so, like, are you a guy who brings his glove to the game when you go out to, if you're going out to take it, and you're maybe on the, you know, the hot corners or something in the stands, and I know they got the netting up, but are you a bring your glove to the game type of guy ever?
I brought my glove to the game for that because I was throwing out the first pitch. Typically, it's been a while since I've been to a game. There's a lot of times where I will bring a glove.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I just kind of like a lot of times you walk in with it on top of your baseball hat.
It sucks if you're the only guy because then you just look like if you're going with a group of people and you're the only dude, you better leave it in the car because you have to have someone else there. Then you just play catch while you're walking up to the ball to the park.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. My son and I, I warmed up in the parking lot. Like he went out and we threw the ball back and forth because, you know, I've had my shoulder problems. So I was concerned. I had a whole throwing program for like a week and a half building up to it.
Program.
No, I did. I went out in the front yard. I threw with my son. We threw like 50, 60 pitches a day. And
James was in the bullpen sessions.
Really?
Yeah. Well, no, I had to stretch it like the first couple of days, maybe 40 feet. Like, my shoulder's trash and my elbow's trash.
Well, and your back's not in great shape from what I understand.
Nope.
So this is...
I'm a beat-up old man, yeah, Sean. Man. I'm a beat-up old man. That's what it comes down to. We got all kinds of stuff to talk about today. I think one of the things that caught your eye last night and certainly caught our eye this morning, they're going to do a John Madden biopic. And why would you have Nicolas Cage play John Madden?
Well, you know what's funny?
I'm confused.
So we ran that last night on Fox 40, and I was doing a lot of research on this. First of all, David O. Russell is an incredible director. I mean, Silver Linings Playbook, American Hustle, if you keep up with any of a lot of those, I could go on. I mean, Three Kings, which I like, which is George Clooney, Ice Cube movie, Mark Wahlberg, but terrific, terrific director. So that gives it credence right there. So if he sees it, then I see it. I don't know that I see it, though. And I know it might look, you're going to focus on when he was younger, and certainly, you know, between prosthesis and adding a whole bunch of weight to his very slender body, I kind of see some things in the face that if you do makeup the right way, I mean, look, that we've seen some pretty incredible things in Hollywood lately. This one would be right up there. I don't know that. And look, Nicolas Cage is such a method type guy that, I mean, if you haven't seen Long Legs out there, that movie's pretty incredible. He's the only reason to watch that movie, in my opinion. Pretty wild. But how about this, though? Do you know who's interested in playing Al Davis?
Oh, see, Nicolas Cage should have played Al Davis.
I'm literally looking at the Google images right now. Like, they look, he looks like him. Yeah.
That's who should have played.
Young Al Davis.
Yes, yes. Go ahead. But who do you think?
A former Sac State alum, a lifelong Raider fan.
Tom Hanks? Oh.
How about that? So if you got the two of them, first of all, you had me at David O. Russell. You got me even more at Nicolas Cage, because even though he puts out some pretty terrible movies, I almost cursed. He's always great. He's always like over the top, and you want to see him, in my opinion. And then certainly, I mean, you got Tom Hanks on there, and with Nicolas Cage, that's just get your popcorn ready.
Okay. So yeah, maybe I'm getting into this, but I still feel like there's a miscast there.
Who would you rather see? Don't say John Goodman, because that's just being mean.
No, I don't want John Goodman. Unfortunately, Philip Seymour Hoffman is no longer with us. He would have been perfect.
Yeah. Well, his son is around, and if it does, you know, if you ever saw him in the movie, the Paul Thomas Anderson movie, Licorice Pizza.
Okay.
He kind of looks like his father. You know, Jesse Plemons is kind of in that build a little bit, too.
I think
Plemons very much looks like Logan Webb, by the way.
Oh.
I mean, they're like separated at birth.
Yeah. That's facts.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we have James Gandolfini's son. It would be sort of like the same kind of build.
So you're just looking for big guys.
Well, I mean, John Madden is a big guy.
He was a big guy. Tyler in the chat, Frank Caliendo, best impression out there, right?
Madden? Yeah.
For sure.
Who's going to play Summerall? Now we're just kidding.
I don't know. I mean, with respect, was Pat Summerall ever young?
No.
Every time, I mean, my whole life he was ancient, and then he died. So I think you have to cast somebody that looks old.
Okay.
Steve Martin?
Oh, I don't think Steve Martin.
Steve Martin was somebody that always looked old.
Steve Martin, just because he has white hair, but
right.
Like he doesn't look old. Like if you look at Steve Martin, even now, he doesn't look old. He just has white hair.
True.
He's aged really well. Murders in the Building coming out again in the next couple of weeks. We also I don't know. I'm not sold on Nicolas Cage. We might come back to this. We might have to battle through this a little bit more. We also yesterday, I guess. Ryan Sandberg announced that he was cancer free, and we have that. There's a moment here. This is like absolutely emotional and crazy, especially if you were a baseball fan, and you're a baseball fan in the 80s and 90s. But go ahead and run this, Jesse.
Where are we at in treatment? How much radiation? You know, where are we at going forward?
I'm glad you asked. I'd like to make an announcement right here. First and foremost, 7:40.
Second.
Take your time.
It's 7:45 this morning. Had my last treatment. All good.
Hey.
Oh my goodness. Congratulations.
11:30, met my oncologist. He said the tests are great. Cancer undetected. Very manageable going forward, and that's the next plan, and just found that out 2 hours ago.
Wow.
So what a coincidence with this going on.
Congrats. From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. Ooh. you get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I mean, first of all, thank you so much for sharing that with us. And I mean, I can't even imagine that feeling.
Take all the time you need. That is a wonderful thing.
No, it's incredible. The doctors, the nurses, like I said, the support, it's been quite the journey, but it's all come to a good conclusion here. So tears of joy are happening.
Tears of joy indeed.
Absolutely amazing. So shout out to Ryan Sandberg, who is cancer-free.
Prostate cancer, right?
I think it was testicular cancer.
Oh.
But, yeah, which is a little more serious for a guy his age. Absolutely amazing stuff. So we're going to step aside here on the Insiders. We'll be back in just a minute. I'm James Hamm. Joining me today, Sean Cunningham from Fox 40, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Welcome back into the Insiders. I'm James Hand. Joining me today is Mr. Sean Cunningham from Fox 40, filling in for Kyle Madsen. We will be out at the Rivercats game tonight. Me and Kyle will be. So drop by and see us if you're at the Rivercats game. We should be all around the place. But he's been off for the week. He enjoyed his birthday yesterday.
So his birthday was yesterday. And then I come to find out that, the break, we were talking about my Sunday at Outside Lands. Uh-huh. And he, I guess he was there too.
Oh, I didn't know.
Tell me? Yeah. How dare he?
Well, I don't think he knew that you and I had worked on getting you tickets. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I maybe he got tickets through here. I would assume he did, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I would like to have seen him, but I imagine. I'm curious. I would like to know. Like, I kind of mapped out just for the people in the chat who I saw on Sunday. I tried to fill a lot in, and you're trying to be aggressive on the crowds you're putting up with, which, by the way, Chapel Roan is like one of the biggest acts right now. I mean, you think about it, like when the Outside Lands, she could have headlined. That's how big she, I mean, she'll be like Lady Gaga in probably a year if she's not already. She goes Lollapalooza, 3-4 o'clock. She's got 80,000 people at her stage. It's one of the biggest crowds ever. And it was a little bit smaller than that, but it was overwhelmingly huge, probably the biggest crowd of the day at Outside Lands. So, curious to see if you went to go see her, but I mean, I'm always trying to get strategic and trying to get close to the stage, and I wonder if Kyle Madsen's about that life.
Okay. I don't know. Like, when I was young, I would fight to the front of concerts. I remember, like, years ago, Aerosmith at Cal Expo, and, like, me and buddies fought all the way to the front.
I'm jealous.
And we were up at the front for maybe like 5 or 6, well, for a couple of songs, right? Like maybe 6 feet away from Steven Tyler, like a very short gate, and then he's right there. And then you got out of there because at a certain point you couldn't breathe. Like there were so many people and you got like went out and went to tie my shoes. It had come untied. And I almost fell over and realized that, like, literally I had lost probably, like, 8 pounds worth of sweat. I was covered in head to toe in sweat. My jeans were sweated through. Like, you were so smashed with people. And, and especially the old Cal Expo. It's all, like, dirt and gross. And
Well, a small fan. I mean, I would have loved to. They just canceled. I mean, he just had that where he's basically lost his voice. And they've had to hang it up. Called a career, and that's unfortunate because I never got to see him, and I would have loved to have seen Aerosmith. That'd been amazing.
Yeah, see, there are concerts I've gone to, Sean, that you haven't. I'm just saying.
Well, and I definitely, you know, I'm jealous of some of them, but there's probably more that I've been to that you haven't.
Yes,
that would
yes.
be yeah. But Aerosmith, that's a tough one to beat.
Yeah, yeah. We've got a little bit of Kings news. I mean, first and foremost, Gary Gerald came on the Happy Hour last night. Amazing.
I hated to miss that.
He's such a good man. Like, realistically, people who haven't had the opportunity to ever meet Gary Gerald, one of the most wholesome, like, spectacular human beings you're ever going to run into. In all the years that I've known him, like, maybe twice I've heard him say a curse word. And even then, I think he apologized for it. He was very angry at something. But he, you know, it's a happy hour, but he doesn't drink. He's just like such a good man. And this is the 40th year of the Sacramento Kings.
Right.
Which means it's the 40th year.
Yeah, in Sacramento.
Yeah, in Sacramento. This is year 40. And it's it will be his 40th season calling Kings basketball, which is absolutely amazing. 84 years old. No signs of slowing down at all. Just absolutely spectacular. What's your favorite Gary Gerald story? Because I know you probably have a million.
Oh my gosh, there's a lot. I think the first probably when I was a kid, and I didn't work with him, and I actually saw him in a Raley's, and he's on TV promoting Raley's, and I'm like, oh my god, that's the Raley's guy. And then, like, knowing that, oh, yeah, he's also the Kings announcer and all that. Like, so I think those memories are stick with me because as someone who grew up in this town, I lived in Sacramento my whole life outside of maybe, you know, 4 years when I went to go play baseball in Nevada. So, like, that's what sticks with me. And so it's always kind of like one of those pinch me moments to have someone like that or even, you know, growing up a Kings fan where you might – see someone like Mitch Richmond on TV and he becomes like your favorite player. And then like knowing these guys later, you know, and them not disappointing you. Cause sometimes, you know, that old saying, don't get to know your heroes or anything like that. Well, G-Man's one of them. And guys like G-Man are the ones that you want to get to know because he's going to live, he's going to be even better in person. Anything you could imagine, he'll be even better. There's so many memories, man. I mean, I remember one of the time we were coming up on a milestone for one of his broadcasts, and I'm working at a different TV station at the time, and me and Ryan Yamamoto, who now works in San Francisco, people might remember him. He's an anchor down in one of the stations down there, and we're going to his house to do the interview. And, you know, Ryan took a back seat. He shot my interview for me. And I think I'm probably in my second year at that station. I'm a nobody. And the fact that Ryan was like, yeah, no, go ahead. You know G-Man. And it's around Christmas time. We do the interview. It's incredible. And then, you know, his wife is there. You get to know the family's so great. So, yeah, just him allowing me into his house. And I remember one time we had him on the radio at one of my other places I worked before. The guy literally said his address on the air. I'm like, what are you doing, man?
Oh, no.
Yeah, like, you can't do that. You shouldn't do that.
People are going to show up,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it's not, you know, he gave his, like, address and road, like, on the air. That's how he refers to his home. If I lived at 12 Elm Lane or something like that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's how he refers to his residence. And he said it on the air, and I'm like, what's he doing?
I know his address, and yes, it's a very easy one to remember. That's absolutely spectacular.
But you know, talk about how times have changed. I mean, when he was calling the games, when the team first got to Sacramento, having people over during the holidays, because, you know, it's such a nomadic lifestyle, even today, but super back then, even in the 80s, you know, you got guys like, you know, Eddie Johnson and Reggie Theus, and guys needed, you know, holiday dinners. Like, oh, come over to the Gerald's house. They're going to put you up. You can, during the holidays, come over and have a dinner. It's like, probably not so much like that these days. You know, you have so many handlers and assistants, and each player has their own chef, but they didn't have that back in the 80s. And Gary Gerald and his wife, she's so great, Marlene. She's amazing.
Yep.
And yeah, they just cook up for the players and hang out at the Gerald's house.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. One of my favorite people, like you, I think you hit the nail on the head. Like he's never disappointed.
Right.
Like in his streak of games and just the longevity, like what he's been able to do, the fact that he still travels and like he's all over the place and he posts pictures everywhere.
Still
and,
playing golf. If you don't follow him on social media, when he's on the road, there are certain restaurants in cities he looks forward to going to.
Oh yeah.
And I forget which there's like an Italian chain that he loves so much that used to be in Sac, it's not in Sac anymore.
Yeah.
And if when he gets to go to one of those towns that has one, he's just there and he's always posting the pictures of some of the food that he has. And I just try to live vicariously through him. And if you can do it at his age and still play golf and still be able to do all that and enjoy the rigors of the road, fantastic.
Yeah. I know he also loves the New York trip to go. He goes and catches a play every time, and he's excited because they have they've got the Knicks and the Nets over a day in between, so they'll actually be in New York like 3 or 4 days, so he's super excited.
Unlike last year, right? Didn't they go to like Boston or Philly?
It was they went New York, Boston, Brooklyn.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah, yeah, over like a three. But I think they stayed in the same hotel in New York. I think they just like took a hopper up and came back. And then I think they were kind of stationed. Yeah. Anyway, 40 years. It's amazing. I've listened to him like most of my life, like on the radio. And it's just absolutely incredible. He even talked about the great Bill King is a lot of influence in his and how he's sort of attacked his job over the years, and just spectacular. So shout out to Gary Gerald, and here's to another, you know, however long he wants to do that job, he should be able to do that job.
Yeah, I'm kicking myself. I mean work got in the way, obviously. It was something I had penciled in and tried to be there, but fortunately we've had it, you know, already a couple times, I think, with the happy hour for the Kings beat.
This was the second time we've had him on the happy hour.
Yeah,
so maybe we'll get Jerry on again too. So Jerry does like to come in studio. He lives not too far away.
Oh, yeah, he's right down the street.
Yeah, he's right down the street, and he'll come in for an hour, and he'll hang out. Unfortunately, this week he was up in Tahoe at his other place, so trying to get away a little bit, so good for him.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, so look, we're going to try to get back on our break schedule here. We're going to step aside. When we come back, Sean and I are going to break down the NBA schedule, how it pertains to the Sacramento Kings. And we might have a couple of guests. There's a possibility that we will have a couple of guests.
In this segment?
In this next segment. Yeah, we're going to do a long segment. We'll just like go to the end of the hour and we'll see how it goes. fingers crossed. If we have some guests, you don't want to miss them. I just don't want to.
Legends. Legends.
Legends, legends, legends. Absolutely incredible. If we see them pop up on the screen, we're going to be very excited. So we're the insiders here on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back into the insiders. I am James Hamm. Joining me today is Mr. Sean Cunningham from Fox 40.
Hi.
Very cool to have Sean in studio.
Oh, it's not that cool.
It's pretty cool, Sean. I don't know what you're talking about. Sean has been my partner on the King's Beat podcast for, what is it, 3+ years, I think?
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
This will be the end of, this could be 4? I don't, it's been a long time.
It has. Maybe, yeah, I didn't think it was going to go this long.
The end of year 3. This is the end of year 3. Absolutely.
Well,
wild.
It came at the tail end of your departure, right? From
I left NBC.
One place. So, yeah.
I don't mind saying the places that I worked.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, when I left NBC, when they decided not to cover the team full time, I think that was 3 years ago. Because I've been here, we've had the show for a year.
Fast.
The Insiders will turn 1 year old the day after Labor Day, which is absolutely crazy that Kyle and I have been on the air for a year together. But
I will say that flew by pretty fast.
Is that crazy, Justin?
Yeah. I feel like you guys just got here, to be honest.
Yeah, well, but I was here for the 2 years before that.
Yeah, you've been around.
I had helped out and would come on the show all the time, but. When I left NBC, I joined here right away. And I've had my Monday, Wednesday, Friday with D'Lo and KC forever. And then I was a fill in for those guys when one of them takes a vacation or whatever before before we got our show. So, yeah, it's good stuff.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, congratulations. You hit a milestone.
I know. It's crazy.
What are we going to do to celebrate? I mean, okay, this is what really makes me mad then. If we've been doing the King's Beat as long as we have, and we've had virtual happy hours, this is the thing that it just gets me. We got to meet the people, man.
We do have to meet the people.
And it doesn't have to be special. It doesn't have to be some drawn-out thing. I say, no more virtual, okay? And I just say, hey, show up to this bar at this time. We don't even have to do a show. Just mingle.
Yeah,
just,
I don't want to do a show in those situations. I just want to talk to people.
Yeah,
just hang out and do that stuff.
We got to do that before, I think, the season starts.
I think so, too. Well, maybe I can swing that. I have an idea. Let's get to the Sacramento Kings. The schedule dropped yesterday. The first thing I think that stands out is that last season the Kings walked into the year with 22 nationally televised games, and I think that actually bumped up as the season went on, and I think they either had 23 or 24 by the time the season was over.
I feel like they lost one, though.
They lost one the year before.
Oh, they lost one last year.
Okay.
I remember making note of it.
Well, they lost to Houston one
the year
before. They
probably gained one back.
I think they gained 2, and they lost 1. Okay. So I think they finished with 23.
Are you one of the people that doesn't consider NBA TV national TV? Because I don't like those people. So I did just kind of, because it's still, I get it. Like, you want to hear a national broadcast. You don't want to hear the home team's broadcast, but... Yeah. To me, it's more important that you get, growing up in Sacramento, you know Kings fans always pay attention to this stuff because you don't get the respect that other teams do in the national spotlight. And that's a thing. That mm-hmm. is true. That's why you can't poo-poo what happens on NBA TV. That's why you have to be embracing of that.
I think the only difference is that NBA TV can also be on your local channel. So right. It will be on NBC Sports California as well as NBA TV, where the ESPN and TNT games are not. So we have 3 TNT games, 3 ESPN games, and 6 NBA TV games. I think the crazy thing is, Sean, the original schedule that I saw, pieces of the original schedule that I saw, had only 7.
Right.
Right? And then not only that, but there was no national televised game at all in the first 40 of the season. I think the finalized version might have 2 or 3 potential nationally televised games in the first 40.
In the first draft, it was the Houston game in January that was going to be the first national TV game.
Yeah. Either way, I think some of the players here, whether it's DeRozan, whether it's De'Aaron Fox, whether it's Domantas Sabonis, the nationally televised schedule will hurt their chances of being an all-star. They will not get national exposure early in the season unless the Emirates NBA Cup happens and the Kings do well in the Cup and they end up showing up on TV in the Cup in the late rounds as far as that.
No, you just got to play well. Have a good record and play well. That's your pathway.
Okay.
I like the fact that you use the sponsor for the NBA Cup.
I just call it
the NBA Cup. But
yeah, I still call it the in-season tournament most of the time.
Yeah, no, but anyway, Yeah, I mean, look, those things take care of themselves. Look, and the best thing about having someone like DeRozan is he's a household name. I mean, people know who he is.
Oh, yeah.
He's a former All-Star many, many times. Not to say that, you know, I expect him to get a lot of votes or anything like that at 35 years old. But, you know, if that puts a spotlight on your team, and more so on the likes of Domantas Sabonis, who's been an all-league player the past 2 years and, you know, worthy of an All-Star nod last year and didn't get it, I think there's going to be – to me, it's like I said last year. You get someone like De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis, and if you had to pick one based off the season that they had, you might go Fox, I might go Sabonis, and mm-hmm. that's what hurts because it literally divides everybody that's – and I'm not talking fans. I'm talking of the coaches, and at that point, you get people that rise above it, and they literally hurt each other.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the one thing I'm going to point out is from here on out, Victor Wembanyama is going to take a NBA All-Star spot.
Yeah, it's probably, and in my opinion, it'll probably happen as a fan vote. I think he's going to be among the leaders of fan votes next year.
Oh, no, I think so, too. I think he will be an NBA All-Star for the next, like, 12 years, right. Like, barring injury.
He's not going to need coaches to get him in.
No, 12, 15 years. But what the downfall is that that's going to take one of the front court spots away from a guy like Domantas Sabonis. And if Anthony Davis is healthy, if Nikola Jokic is healthy, all of a sudden, it starts to get really, really crowded in the Western Conference for a potential all-star bid for Sabonis. I still think he can make All-NBA, especially with the game mandate. But All-Star game, I think it's going to be really difficult. And this last one, it's really a shame that he wasn't part of the All-Star game this last year. I think it was of everybody who was kind of skipped, Fox and Sabonis both should have. One of them should have been there, but realistically, both of them should have been there. I mean, Fox was, I think at the time of the All-Star game, he was ninth in the league in scoring. The top 19 players made the All-Star game outside of him in scoring.
Yeah, I mean, again, certainly you could, to me, it was just pick one.
Yeah.
You know, they were not worthy of having two. Year before, based off success, they were worthy of having two.
Yeah,
I agree. Last year, no.
Okay. All right. We haven't talked like on the show about your thoughts on the DeMar DeRozan edition. We have, of course, you and I have discussed this ad nauseum on the King's Beat.
Yeah.
But like, what are your for the people out there who haven't sort of heard your take on DeMar joining the Sacramento Kings? Number one, like, how big is this for them? Number two, is this the biggest signing they've ever had? No. It's a little complicated because it's a sign and trade, right?
So it's definitely in the conversation, you know. And I would put sign and trade in the signing category because he still chose to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something you have a hard time doing is the Sacramento Kings is luring pieces like that. And I already can hear, you know, the naysayers saying, well, he's 34 going on 35, you're getting with the back end of his career, but really looking at what he did last year is incredible. I mean, he's one of those guys that you can put in that boat, maybe if LeBron James is a cruise ship, DeMar DeRozan's probably in the lifeboat in terms of beating Father Time. And his ability not only to be able to score, but the evolution of his game from going from being this like elite mid-range scorer to stretching the floor, being kind of a bucket from corner three. And certainly if you saw when the Bulls came, they made their only trip to Sacramento last year,
mm-hmm.
and him turning it on in the fourth quarter, which he's always been known to do, but he's not so much of a ball stopper anymore. Like, he's a playmaker. The guy actually moves the ball. He didn't used to do that when he was in high school and coming into the league and being with the Raptors, and I think being with the Spurs kind of opened that up for him a little bit, but seeing his evolution, and then last year leading fourth quarter scoring, you know, minutes in the entire league is super incredible. And to attain somebody like him literally for two members of your team that you weren't really super, super high on with respect to both of those players, and it's a talent upgrade, and it's exactly what they needed in terms of, look, sure, would Lauri Markkanen have been better? Would Brandon Ingram have been better additions based on where they are and their age and maybe the fit?
The player arc.
Absolutely. Yeah. I won't deny that. Is it kind of janky in a way? Like, does DeMar DeRozan have to be a different player? Maybe, but all you know is he's a bucket, and this guy, they have a guy that they literally can throw the ball to go get you points outside of relying on Domantas Sabonis getting some second chance opportunities, giving it to De'Aaron Fox to be your primary scoring weapon, or even a Malik Monk in the fourth quarter. Now you've got guys that can go and get you a bucket who look to rise to that occasion. Does that mesh well with Keegan Murray, Kevin Huerter? We'll find out. But these are things I like about it. I think they needed a three-headed monster. I think they have it now. And I'm excited to see what it is. I think they're absolutely better. I think they're more entertaining. And I think it's going to be a challenge for Mike Brown to fit him in. But I think the best part about DeMar DeRozan with the Sacramento Kings, the Kings want to have postseason success and sustain it. So does DeMar DeRozan. He has not had that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's hungry for that. And he recognizes that opportunity in Sacramento.
Yeah, I'd also point out one of the things that I always key in on when it comes to this signing is that DeRozan averaged 5.3 assists per game last year. And again, this isn't really a knock on Harrison Barnes as much as it just is the reality of the situation last year in Sacramento. But Barnes was down to 1.2 assists per game. And he was kind of left out in the cold in the offense, and he was okay with that. It felt like he wasn't okay. If you asked him about it, you kind of felt like, no, there's some anxiety there about it.
Right.
But the fact that he allowed that to be the case and just kind of played into that, that's not who DeMar DeRozan is. He's not going to allow that to happen to him in Sacramento. And so I like the fact that you added another, not just playmaker for himself, but playmaker for others. And when you have a guy who basically has twice as many points as a guy that had his job last year, again, Harrison Barnes averaged 12.2 points per game, and we had 24 points per game for DeMar DeRozan. But the assist numbers, where you have a guy who averages four more assists per game, I think it's going to open up like really high level shots for guys like Keegan Murray, for catch and shoot opportunities for a guy like De'Aaron Fox, where a lot of his 3-point opportunities has to come off the dribble. They won't have to come off the dribble as much. Same thing for Malik Monk. Malik Monk is a much better catch and shoot 3-point shooter than he is off the dribble. And having this guy who walks in and instantly has the ability to set his teammates up, to draw a crowd and find open teammates, it just gives you another option. And I think late in the year, the Kings ran out of options. When Kevin Huerter went down and when Malik Monk went down, they had this void of secondary playmakers. It was all on Fox and was all on Sabonis. And then it was on Keegan Murray to try to be something that he's not yet. And I think Keegan can get there, but this buys Keegan a couple of years to figure out all of the nuances, a lot like, you know, DeMar DeRozan did. DeMar DeRozan didn't come into the league as a guy averaging 5 assists per game. He became that player throughout his career. And, you know, even like I'm looking, 20-year-old DeMar DeRozan averaged 0.7 assists per game in his rookie season. His second season, 1.8. Third season, 2. Like, that's okay for Keegan Murray to be that player today. But as he progresses as a player, you would hope that his career arc would kind of look a little more similar to what we've seen as far as the evolution of DeMar DeRozan. I think it's a good like player comp to watch. He's a better 3-point shooter for sure.
I mean, I get what you're saying. I mean, despite their, I mean, there's many differences in the way they approach the game, but I can kind of see that, at least the evolution of a player and what they become and the situation that they're in. And I mean, I hear a lot of the stuff about how, you know, oh, DeMar DeRozan's going to be able to mentor some of these guys and blah, blah, blah. He'll do it by example. This guy's not pulling anybody under his wing. Make no mistake. He's coming out here to be an alpha. And that's exactly what they need. It's going to take pressure off of Sabonis and Fox. And I think it's fair to wonder how it all fits because there's no analytic for chemistry. And I talk about that a lot because you can have, I mean, you have two-way players all over the place. If you guys don't have this relationship where everything is harmonious on the court, then, you know, then it's all for naught. You can have talent all over the place. We've seen ultra-talented teams lose.
Yeah.
So, and he's just not in that stage, despite being 35 when the season starts. He's not going to be in that stage where he's Vince Carter coming to Sacramento, Zebo coming to Sacramento and saying, here's the way, guys. You know, Justin Jackson should be playing right now because it's part of his development, but Justin Jackson can't beat out a 40-year-old Vince Carter, and that's why Vince Carter's playing.
Yeah.
You know, in Sacramento, DeMar DeRozan, you're not taking the crown from him because he's that guy. he can be that guy. He's still capable of being that type of scorer. And the guy's not terrible defensively. You know, there's not going to be a lot of drop off there, in my opinion, from what you were losing.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Like, the numbers say that he can defend the perimeter as well or better than Harrison Barnes did. Now, scheme and stuff might matter. It might. But I looked up the numbers. Like, Harrison Barnes allowed his opponents to shoot 41% from three.
Right.
That's horrific. Like, realistically, it's not a good number at all. DeMar DeRozan allowed his opponent to shoot 34% from three. Like, that's really good.
Right.
I mean, that's a 7% difference between those two players. And when we're talking about a team that was one of the worst defensive teams in the NBA in defending the three, like, I think he's still going to be okay. He's going to be okay for the next 2 years and maybe even the next three and maybe even the next four. Like, we don't know what the future holds here, but I could see DeMar DeRozan kind of sticking around if things are going the right way. And, like, to your point about DeMar not pulling someone under his wing, I think the way that he's going to, I think he will, like, have conversations with guys. He will be a voice of reason. He will be, like, a mentor in the locker room a little bit. But also, when it's time to go, I think the leading by example is probably something that Keegan Murray needs more than anything. Mm. Like, he needs to see, it's one thing, like, Harrison Barnes is a good teammate. And for him to take a step back was a good teammate move. But at the end of the day, having a player that Keegan Murray looks across the table from and goes, oh, okay, he's not going to move the ball. He is going to be selfish. I need to learn
that's how to do it.
Being more like that.
Yeah. Be that guy that, you know, I'm not saying wave off your guy who's going like this because it is equal opportunity basketball, at least in the system. But that's one of the things, because, you know, I've heard people call DeMar DeRozan a ball stopper, and I don't see that. He can certainly slow it down at times. But this is not, in my opinion, I think that's where the challenge is for Mike Brown. You have to keep the equal opportunity things. And the fact that he can get to the free throw line will slow down the game.
Oh, yeah.
But it's also sorely needed, you know. And if I'm Keegan and I'm looking at DeMar DeRozan, it's like, well, that's the type of player, not that you should be, but that's the mentality that you should have. There's a big difference there. Like, you have to be able to capture your moment, seize the moment, and demand the moment by also being a good teammate.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with all of that. And I think, like, at a certain point, like, mixing the core up actually does help.
Right.
Like, you're hoping that there's continuity and that the team finds the same success. I think having Jay Triano there, who was DeMar DeRozan's first NBA head coach in Toronto, is a big deal because he is the architect of the offense, and you hope that he's got a whole bunch of ideas of how to integrate DeMar DeRozan into this system. But, like, look, you're getting a player who is still in his, like, he's playing like a player in his prime.
Yeah.
And so whether that lasts for 2 years or 3 years, I'm not sure. But as of today, I mean, we can look around the league and we can see that Team USA just won with a bunch of guys that are older than this. You know, you got LeBron James, who just keeps playing at this incredible level at 39, almost 40 years old. You got Steph Curry, is right around the same age. You've got Kevin Durant, who's doing the same thing. And no one is asking them, like, hey, are you going to stop doing this? Are you going to stop being at a high level? And then I look at what the Clippers did, where they just gave James Harden $35 million a year for 2 years. And James Harden has not held up like DeMar DeRozan has. First of all, he's never been a good defender, and he's only gotten worse. I think his beard defends better than he does.
Glorious.
But, yeah, it is glorious. But at the same time, you understand what I'm saying. Like, other teams around the league are still paying older players like these astronomical numbers. And to see the Kings land a guy like DeMar DeRozan for $24, $25 million a year, it's actually a pretty good deal.
Yeah. Quick, because I get ADD, I guess. I don't know if I've been ever diagnosed it, but you mentioned the Olympics. Did you ever think, by the way, before the Olympics started, that, I mean, I think we all figured that the U.S. would win the gold in basketball. You know, no hot take there. But did you think that they'd provide some of the most talked about moments, and really maybe the most talked about moment of the Olympic Games, in my opinion, in that Steph Curry performance?
No, I think the way that
those final two games.
Yeah, the buildup to the Olympics for me was so much about the murmurs of passing the torch, right? And then when we got there, it was, no, there will be no passing of the torch because you guys aren't ready. And these dudes, still got it. I did not expect to see Steph Curry become the superstar of the Olympics.
He had no. What I mean by that too is, like, I think you're looking at the Olympics going in and the storylines. You're like, okay, you've got Noah Lyles, Sha'Carri Richardson, those storylines, Katie Ledecky, those storylines.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't think that basketball would
steal the thunder,
steal the spotlight. Really, I mean, I know. Yeah. Look, you got LeBron carrying the flag in the opening ceremonies. Like, that was going to be a big deal. We already knew that was going to be a big deal.
Uh-huh.
But I wouldn't have guessed that. That basketball, that Steph Curry, that storyline would, I think it's, if you ask me, and maybe I'm biased here in terms of just basketball in general, I would have thought that that's probably the best moment that the U.S. had at the Olympics, aside from winning all the medals that they did. And they, you know, they far and away ran away with it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the Olympics is usually so centered on, like, the star individual, right? And that's good because they don't get the proper due, you know, the other 4 years, you know,
right.
The other 12 months, but realistically from one Olympics to the next. We're not sitting here talking about the world championships and who won the 100 meter in the world championship.
Right.
Like, we're just not doing it.
Well,
so.
And Curry, his first time.
Yeah.
First time playing in the Olympics, which is just mind-boggling.
No, I totally agree. But for them to walk in and, like, really steal the stage, I think part of it, though, Sean, it's that the world is just catching up.
Mm.
And that's where it's like, oh, my gosh, how many more years does the U.S. have of just pure dominance in this sport?
That image of Victor Wembanyama crying, you know, to be like, dude, you're going to be back. Don't worry about that. Like, I can appreciate the moment and him, you know, crying on the, it's a home court advantage for him. They're playing in Paris. But in LA, France is going to be one to grapple with. I mean, that's going to be incredible, and he's going to be right there doing it again.
Yeah, yeah. I for me, watching the other team's stars step up,
right,
was really, really cool. It's exciting for me to say, hey, look, this is not going to be a cakewalk anymore. You are going to have to go in there and battle if you're going to win. It's not just like the Team USA is the best team ever, like, parade for seven games and it's over and, like, you guys get your medals and you go home and everyone else is like, well, that didn't really feel all that fair. It's like, what was it? Edwin Moses, like, every time he raced the hurdles, beat everybody. Like, Greg Louganis was so much better than everybody at diving for so long that you're like, okay, it's really not even close. You hit your head on the board and still won gold.
Yeah.
Like, all of these athletes that you see that, like, that are just so much better, to see the competition, like, improve, for me, is really cool. And it goes for all the sports that we're seeing at the Olympics, but specifically basketball, where, you know, when the Dream Team played, there was 9 NBA players outside of the Dream Team, and this year there's 61 NBA players in the Olympics. That's crazy. Mm. And when we get 4 years from now and you're in LA and Team USA wants to win so bad because it's on their home soil, like, there's going to be 75 or 80 likely NBA players on that team. You know, look at just France alone. They had 4 first round picks from France this year, including the, like, number one and number, like, 2 or number 3 pick. Like, that team is building something, and the U.S. better be aware. And same with Canada. Canada's getting better. Like, all of these teams are getting better. So I think it's going to be really interesting to watch.
Yeah, and I loved how you asked me in a podcast we did recently if there was anybody that had stood out in terms of someone where I thought, yeah, they could play in the NBA. And I gave you a no answer. And then we saw the medal game with France and saw France play their semifinal game. I'm trying to remember who they played. Germany?
Yeah. Franz Wagner,
Mo
Wagner.
Yeah, I mean, there's guys that have talent. I mean, the NBA game is so different, and the FIBA game is just so different from the NBA game. I still feel that way because I still feel like you can identify a star or two that captured your imagination and just totally caught the eye during the Olympics. But the reality of seeing that person produce at the NBA level is still really tough.
Yeah,
and I just don't see it.
Hmm. Okay, we're going to step aside just a little bit early right here, and we're hoping that we will have some guests.
I'm confident.
He's confident in the next segment, so we're going to step aside so we have a little bit of freedom with time here. We're the Insiders on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. We'll be back in just a minute.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.